Blog Talk Radio.
Back at it again! It's the start of another episode of Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, and that means death to the competition. We've been dealing with a lot of death lately. We had Farrah Fawcett, Michael Jackson, Steve McNair, R.I.P., God bless your souls, but now it's time to put a dagger into the competition. R.I.P., the fantasy football competition. That's because it's Rick Serratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, in the place to be, broadcasting live from our New York City headquarters. Ross Stradamus, how are you, sir?
Ready to rock, Rick.
And the Reverend Ralph Mancini popping that priest collar. How you doing?
Another hot day in the city, baby. Let's get it rolling.
Make it rain, and we're going to do just that. We're going to get right into the wide receivers. Before you do, make sure you check us out. Our quarterbacks and running backs preview show. Very highly popular shows. I appreciate all the feedback. Check us out on Twitter, NFL Draft Bible, and, of course, our website. You know how we do it. Now, we don't want to waste any more time. We want to get strictly business and personal. And like I said, we're talking wide receivers. Before we get into all of our tier rankings and players that you want, players that you don't want, rookies, bust-out players, stud duds, and sleepers, we're going to break all that down for you thoroughly. But first, let's talk a little strategy, guys. Ralph, I'm going to start it off with you. Drafting wide receivers is always a variable with each fantasy football owner. Some guys feel like, you know, a stud wide receiver is more valuable than a number two running back. Other guys feel like you can just wait it out on the wide receivers. There's so many of them. How do you play it?
Well, you know, it all depends on what type of league you're in. What I did is I came up with my own projections. And in a classic PPR league, I compared a wide receiver, a number one wide receiver that had, let's say, 110 catches, 1,300 yards, and 11 touchdowns versus a good number two running back with 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, 30 receptions, 200 yards receiving. And it just turned out that the number two running back had about 200 more points than that number one receiver. So my word of advice here is, unless that wide receiver is an elite wide receiver, you know, like a Calvin Johnson type, like a Larry Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, a guy that can give you 15 touchdowns potentially and 1,500 yards, unless it's somebody like that, then I would take the number two running back.
Now, Ross, playing devil's advocate here, there's only so many stud wide receivers, so does that enhance their value?
Absolutely. And I have to agree with the Reverend here. I think if you're not going to get one of those top four guys, the Johnsons, Fitzgerald, or Moss, you might want to throw Bolden in there, but I cut it off at four. I think you're definitely better off taking a running back, but if you can get one of those four guys, I would grab one of them before I grab my second running back.
And I'm going to throw Calvin Johnson into that mix, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. Okay, guys, now the big thing with wide receivers, it's been a big, you know, thing. Every year you hear about third-year wideouts, third-year wideouts. Oh, well, it takes wide receivers 3 years to really bloom. Of course, you know, you have your rare exceptions, but for the most part, entering year number three, wide receivers really should be, you know, peaking, especially when it comes to fantasy football potential. So, Ross, let's start it off with you. Let's rewind back to that 2007 NFL draft and take a look at some of those rookies. You know, who are some guys that you're looking at? Who are some guys that are going to be impact players? Who are some guys that we can consider now flops? And who are some guys that might actually bust out this year?
Well, there's always plenty of flops to go around, but let's start with the solid guys, the third-year guys. I mean, two names, you're not going to believe that this is the year they're supposed to do something because they've already done it. And that's Calvin Johnson and Dwayne Bowe. I throw Anthony Gonzalez in there, but he really didn't make the impact, the leap that everybody expected him to last year. Look, Calvin Johnson's in a group by himself here. I really don't even think he belongs in this discussion.
No.
He's such an elite receiver, but, you know, third year. I'll go with Dwayne Bowe first here. Everyone knows about him. He's coming off a 1,000-yard season. He has, you know, we're not all sold on Matt Castle yet, but I think the quarterback situation will probably be a little more stable there, although if Castle gets off to a slow start, that won't be the case. But regardless of who's throwing the ball there, he's going to at least repeat what he did last year. I don't buy into the fact that since Tony Gonzalez is gone, he's not going to do anything. I think he's too good a player for that.
Ross, let me stop you right there for a second. Some questions in regards to his off-season conditioning. Came in 16 pounds heavier than a year ago. Any concerns about that?
Not right now. I mean, if he carries that weight into the regular season, you know, is that weight muscle? Is that going to take away from his speed? Is it just that he was a little out of shape, took his good, you know, his good season last year, you know, a little for granted and, you know, loaded up on the Big Macs or whatever, or the beers? I'm not concerned about it in the beginning of July, but if it lasts through training camp, I'm certainly going to be concerned about
it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't see too many guys putting on muscle at White Castle, man.
No, they don't, but, you know, we'll see what happens with when, you know, preseason starts. That's what matters to me.
All right, Ralph, how about some guys that stand out to you entering their third year?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to give you Dwayne Bowe because, in my opinion, he's already an established player. I'm going to give you three players who I think are going to emerge in 2009, and I'm going to start with the aforementioned Anthony Gonzalez. Marvin Harrison is gone, and I think, obviously, Gonzalez is going to finally become a full-time guy. He's shorthanded, and he's going to be split out a lot more this year as opposed to just being a slot guy. The other guy I like here, a little bit of a deep sleeper, a third-year guy, Mike Walker from the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is his big chance. He showed you what he can do in his breakout game versus Pittsburgh last year. Can he stay in one piece? That's a big question with him. Then the other guy is Sidney Rice, Sir Sidney. He had a sprained PCL last year. That was the nail in his coffin for the 2008 season. But I think he's going to be healthy. I think he's going to be 100%. The team's going to be improved. He's a major end zone weapon, 6'4". I like Sidney Rice also.
Okay, guys, one guy we haven't mentioned, and he flies under the radar, and it doesn't even seem like he's in his third year. He seems like an established veteran. That's Steve Breston over in
there
Arizona.
We go.
And, you know, I think he very quietly had 1,000 yards receiving. What's your take on Steve Breston?
Well, if you were on that Breston bandwagon last year, you might recognize me as the driver of that bandwagon, baby. Well, I'm back again. I don't care if he's the number three in Arizona. There's more than enough to go around last year. He had 77 grabs for over 1,000 yards. He's going to hit 1,000 yards again and increase his touchdown total.
Yeah, I agree. In that offense, there's going to be plenty of balls to go around. I think Steve Breston, if he stays healthy, is going to have another bang-up year.
There's a couple more guys I'd like to throw in here, and, you know, got to go with the hometown guy, Steve Smith. The other Steve Smith might not be the other Steve Smith after this season. He had 57 grabs for 574 yards last year, and I'm telling you, 57 of those were for first downs. I'm telling you, every catch this guy made was a good one. Plaxico and Toomer are gone. Eli trusts Steve Smith, and he should, and I like him. I also like James Jones from the Packers. Had a solid rookie year and was ready to establish himself last year, but he got banged up, missed 6 games, and he never got on track really last year. But he's healthy now. He did not need surgery on his knees. He's going to be the third guy in Green Bay, and the way that Rev's boy Aaron Rodgers is going to throw it around, there's going to be plenty for him to do fantasy-wise.
Well, talk about disappearing, Axe. I want to throw out another name out there to you guys and tell me what you think. Robert Meacham, you know, here again, gone again. I mean, what's our take here? Are we officially ready to call him a bust, or is there something there, Rev?
I don't know. I don't see him doing much this year. There are too many other options. As a matter of fact, Ross and I were talking about this off the air, and if I have to pick a sleeper out of all those receivers down there in New Orleans, I kind of like Adrian Arrington to rise. You know, there are some guys there, Colston, Bush, and Lance Moore. They all have injury questions, and if any one of those three guys goes down this year, I think Adrian Arrington is going to be a guy that could step up and do some things.
Yeah, Rev, I got to agree with you. I had Meacham at the top of my, you know, disappointing list here. He's overvalued for whatever reason. I think he had a couple of exciting catches. But the bottom line is when the Saints are healthy, he really doesn't have anywhere to play with Colston, Moore, and big money Devery Henderson on the field. Not to mention the fact that Reggie Bush is going to get receptions. I'd stay away from him. And another couple guys I'd stay away from, Craig Davis, believe it or not, for the Chargers, first-round pick, hasn't done anything but be injured so far. And San Diego has plenty of other options. I'd stay away from him as well. And Rev's favorite guy, Dwayne Jarrett. He's had chance after chance and done nothing, yet somehow Carolina thinks he's ready to emerge. I don't see it. And, of course, then you have another four guys I won't even get into, Courtney Taylor, Jordan Kent in Seattle, Jacoby Jones and Laurent Robinson haven't done anything, and, you know, this is it for them.
Well, how about a guy who did do something last year, Johnny Lee Higgins, guys?
Johnny Lee Higgins is a nice complimentary player, you know, a good maybe fourth receiver on a good team, but I don't see him being a starter.
Oh, I actually think he could show something this year. He showed some explosiveness last year, but, you know, if Hayward Bay stays on the field and doesn't get hurt, I don't know that Higgins is going to actually achieve what he did last year. But you know what? I'm not betting against Hayward Bay getting hurt, so I think Higgins could be in for some decent fantasy stats this year.
Okay, we're going to close out this third-year wideout segment with your boys, Reverend Chancey Stuckey and David Clowney. Any of these guys contributing?
I think Chancey Stuckey has a great chance of contributing. He's a smart receiver, knows how to make plays, very good after the catch, very elusive runner. As far as David Clowney goes, look, we all got excited about him in the preseason. He's a guy that's got some quicks. He's probably the fastest receiver on the team, but he just can't seem to stay healthy. So unless he proves to me that he could stay in one piece, I'm not really going to count on David Clowney.
Yeah, I don't think you can really count on any of those guys from a fantasy perspective. Now, we just broke down the 2007 wide receiver class. Let's talk about the 2009 wide receiver class, and that would be this year's rookies. A lot of big names. People like Michael Crabtree, people like Kenny Britt, people like Jeremy Maclin, Darius Heyward-Bey, guys. You know, we can never put too much stock into rookie wideouts, but anybody making waves on your radar early on? We'll start it off with you, Reverend.
Well, you know, if I were to rank them, I'm going to start with my number one guy here, and it's going to be Hakeem Nicks from the New York Giants. I think he finds himself in the right place at the right time. I can definitely picture him taking over for Dominic Hickson, who proved that he can't handle the number one wide receiver position. I think Nicks is a big, physical guy, a Musin Muhammad type with crazy glue hands. I think that he's really going to make a difference as a rookie. Then also the other guys that I would rank after Nicks, Michael Crabtree, obviously another physical guy who catches the ball in traffic, makes plays after the catch. Ryan Rubitsky, very polished guy, likely to start right away. Jeremy Maclin is number four. He's still very raw, doesn't run the entire route tree, but he will make some plays. Watch him be utilized on end-arounds. He's going to be a factor in the return game. I think he's eventually going to grow as a pass catcher later on in the year. Percy Harvin comes in at number five. Health is a concern. I think he's going to give you maybe sporadic production, but he will make some plays out of the slot as a Wildcat quarterback, as a running back, as a kick returner. Lewis Murphy is the guy to take after him. Big vertical threat, quick off the line, elusive. The Oakland Raiders are just ecstatic over him. He's looked great in OTAs. And finally, the other guy I like is Jared Diller from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They traded Dennis Northcutt for a reason. They love Jared Diller. He's smooth, technically sound. He's got great hops. And so, you know, guys like Kenny Britt, I'm not too excited about him yet in his rookie year, but those are the guys that I would take as rookies.
Yeah, just to follow up on a couple of players you mentioned, Brian Robisky over in Cleveland actually battling with Mohamed Massaqua, another rookie there in Cleveland for the starting spot opposite of Braylon Edwards. Percy Harvin, let's see. I hear with Brett Favre in the mix, they might just scrap that whole Wildcat formation completely. Let's wait and see on that. And then I want to toss it over to you, Ross, for your guys, your rookie wide receivers that stand out. Before we do, Ralph made a good point. Lewis Murphy in Oakland really sticking out. Is there a chance that Lewis Murphy is actually a more productive wideout than Darius Heyward-Bey?
I wouldn't be surprised at all, and the key word is there is productive. You know, in order to be productive in this league, you got to stay on the field, and I am not at all in any way convinced that Heyward-Bey is going to. We weren't on draft day. We Twittered the heck out of that. And, you know, he's already shown a little bulky hamstring. I got no faith in him. I got more faith in Murphy right now.
All right, hit us with your rookie rankings there.
All right, some of the same names there. I have Crabtree and Percy Harvin as 1-2, and then there's a big gap to Nicks at number 3 for me. I like Rubisky a lot, especially in a points-per-reception league, where I think he's going to have a lot of those grabs from whomever is quarterbacking over there in Cleveland. A guy that wasn't mentioned yet, I like Joaquin Iglesias. I think he's an interesting guy to focus on. They got a real quarterback there. Cutler doesn't have any favorites. Well, he might later. We could talk about that later. But I think Iglesias is going to be a nice fit for the Bears type of offense. Another guy I like in the same place is Johnny Knox. Not Johnny Knoxville, Johnny Knox. He's really impressing him in Chicago during OTAs. I think that Cutler has a nice relationship with him building. I like him a lot. And then we got Darius Heyward-Bey. Got to respect the speed, but I wouldn't expect too much production from him. He's going to be, I don't know, is he a guy who's going to be over or under drafted? I don't think he's going to get drafted in the right spot in any league. He's either going to be over or under drafted. I'm not that high on Maclin. I think he's just going to focus on the return game this year. They got a lot of receivers in Philadelphia. I don't know how much time
he's going to
get.
He might spread that field.
I don't know, man. I don't know where he's going to fit. DeShaun Jackson, Avant, you know, all the other guys they got there.
Oh, not Jason Avant.
Dude.
Not Hank Basket. No.
Hey. You saw how much McNabb trusts Avant, man. Don't sleep on
Avant. They're playing five wide, though.
We'll see. Well, without Mr. Westbrook, they may have no choice. I like Kenny Britt. I think he'll emerge as a number three there, but how much value are you going to get out of that? You mentioned Muhammad Massaquoi. I like him. I don't think they have a lot there. I think those three guys are the three guys that are going to be the receivers there. You know, him, Rabisky, and Braylon Edwards. I think that's what they're going to go with in Cleveland. So those are the guys I like as far as
the thing that really concerns me about Darius Heyward Bey, and a lot of people were talking about, well, he's not a polished route runner, wasn't very productive in college, not highly productive anyway. But the thing that concerned me is he dropped a ton of passes in OTAs, and that's always a bad sign.
I mean, he's just going to turn out to be a guy who's fast.
Yeah.
You need to do more than that. Ask Ronaldo Nehemiah, man. You can't just be fat.
Well, third rounder, Iglesias, there in Chicago. Ross, I definitely agree with you there. He'll be competing with Earl Bennett for a starting job opposite Devin Hester. I'm going to give you three guys for Dynasty Leagues. I don't think these guys are going to light the world on fire right away, but for those of you in Dynasty Leagues looking for some diamonds in the rough, I'm going to give you Tycon Underwood in Jacksonville. The Jersey product here in our own backyard looked very impressive before he had some hammy problems. Let's see how that unwinds. Sammy Strouder over in Tampa Bay, another guy that's in a great position, can definitely succeed over in Tampa Bay. And the last one out there, Demetrius Byrd, the LSU wideout, got into a car accident before the draft. Slid all the way down to the sixth round, I believe, to the Chargers. And A.J. Smith plucked him there. So don't be surprised, Demetrius Byrd, if he recovers from that horrible car accident. And, yes, New England, once again, Ross, strikes in the mid-round.
My guy.
Brandon Tate, I mean, this guy was actually considered a higher draft prospect before the season started than his teammate Hakeem Nick.
Right.
So here's another guy that, you know, don't look for impact this season, but down the line, maybe the end of the season, next season, Brandon Tate, I mean, you know, he can emerge as a starter there in New England.
He's going to be a big-time pro. Not this year, but down the line, he's going to be a big-time receiver.
Get dialed in to the Fantasy Football Insiders crew. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Check us out on the NFL Draft Bible. We just broke down third-year wideouts, rookie wideouts. Now it's time to talk about who's going to be busting out those Hulk Hogan biceps, baby. I'm talking
Who's
ripping this shirt. Okay, let's talk about it. Let's be about it. I'll tell you right now, right off the bat, guys, I'm going to throw out a guy that I've been riding this entire offseason. I've been throwing him out there. Another guy that, you know, fellow fantasy owners have been being critical on me about. I'm going to tell you right now, Devon Best is going to be the most productive wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins football team. Period, bottom line.
I have no problem with that. Although that's not really saying, I mean, it's saying a lot, considering that Ted Ginn is there and their expectations. We can get to that later. And my boy Greg Camarillo is out there. But I don't have a problem with that. I've loved the Hawaiian ever since he came into the league. I think he's going to be a very, very nice option for the Dolphins.
Well, you know, they keep waiting for Ted Ginn to step up and be that number one receiver. I think the opportunity is there for him to do it. And from what I saw, last six games last season, this guy was unstoppable. So I think he definitely could be the number one guy
there. Let's not write Ginn off. I mean, he wasn't terrible last year.
Well, who would you rather have, Best or Ginn?
I'd rather have Best, but that's just because I'm way high on
Best or Ginn?
Best.
Okay, so it's unanimous.
I mean, Ted Ginn did have 790 yards receiving.
I'm just saying he's not a number one guy.
No, he's not.
And Devon Best is a guy, let's be honest, you can probably grab him with your last pick in
the
draft.
Like I did.
So Devon Best is my guy. Let's toss it over to Ross for his bust-out players.
Well, you know, you want to go a guy along with that. I love Donnie Avery. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season this year. I really do. I think he's going to be he's going to emerge as a number one. Torrey Holt's gone. Mm-hmm. Another three guys, you know, you've obviously heard of all three of these, but I think they're going to take large steps up this season. I can't believe I'm going to say it, but the last guy, I'll save him. But Lee Evans, I mean, everybody knows T.O.'s there. I really think he's going to benefit from that. I think he's going to have the monster season that everybody thought he was going to have the last couple seasons. And Ralph's boy, Dwayne Bowe, I think he's going to have a phenomenal season this year. And I don't even care who's quarterbacking that team. I think he's that good of a ball player. And the last guy, a lot of people down on him. I am one of the few who I think he's going to have a good season. And that's Roy Williams of Dallas, guys. I know he hasn't put up number one numbers yet, but I think this is a season for him.
You can have him.
I will.
Hey, listen, as far as bust-out receivers go, I'm not going to go with some of the big-name guys that Ross focused on. I'm going to go with some lower-tier guys who I think can make a difference this year. And I'm going to start way out in the Windy City in Chicago with Devin Hester. Had 51 catches in his first full season as a wide receiver. This guy's only getting better. He's learning how to run routes, playing with a better quarterback. I think Devin Hester is going to have
What's
a much
ceiling,
better year.
Though? Give me some numbers. What's his
ceiling? Give me some more small names, dude.
I think he can get you between 60 to 70 catches.
Yardage, touchdowns?
Yardage, 800 to 900 yards, and get you maybe about 7 touchdowns.
Oh, that's pretty similar to his numbers last year.
Did he do that well last year?
Yeah, 6 receiving touchdowns.
Okay, I think it could go between 7 and 9 touchdowns. So I think he's a guy who's on the upswing. Another guy that I like to do better this year is Miles Austin. He's big, he's fast. He's a
Mammoth, baby.
He's a much better playmaker than Patrick Creighton. I think he will benefit from Witten attracting double coverage. If he stays healthy, watch out for Miles Austin. Then another guy is a guy that always gets overlooked each and every year, but each and every year he makes plays, and I'm talking about Justin Gage. You could talk to me about Kenny Britt. I'm going to give you Justin Gage. You could talk to me about Nate Washington. I'll give you Gage. Collins loves throwing him the ball. He caught a bunch of clutch passes last year. Had 6 touchdowns in 12 games. The other guy is a guy that a lot of people view as being a disappointment. I think he might be on the upswing, and I'm talking about Mark Clayton from the Baltimore Ravens. Did you know that he averaged 17 yards per reception last year? He's a big play threat who caught touchdowns of 47, 53, and 70 yards last year. He's in a walk year, and he's playing with a much improved Joe Flacco.
If he only had Mark Duper on the other side of him.
Dude, I couldn't disagree more about Justin Gage, man. There's not bring Nate Washington
in there. 12 games.
I actually had Gage under the sleeper category. But if you think about it, Ross, his first year in Tennessee, he had 6 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Another year in the system. Kerry Collins' go-to guy. I see more than 6 touchdowns than a year ago.
I don't. We'll see.
All right, how about this name? I don't know if he qualifies as a bust-out player, but I think he's going to finally... I've been saying it for the last 2 or 3 years, but I think this is the year he actually finally breaks out. Vincent Jackson.
Absolutely.
Becoming an elite
wide
receiver.
I love Vincent Jackson.
That's the Reverend's guy right there.
I think he's already busted out.
Well, I don't know if last year was a bust.
He's had over 1,000 yards.
Well, it is.
Do you realize that over the past 2 years... Vincent Jackson has averaged over 17 yards per reception. A guy
who's
6'5", 30.
I'm not into yards per reception. I'm into touchdowns.
Show me
the money, brother.
Wait a second. He's a big play guy.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Another one of your guys that you didn't mention, Ralph, Josh Morgan. Where does he fit in San Francisco? You got Isaac Bruce. You got Michael Crabtree. I tend to believe Josh Morgan's the number one guy.
I tend to agree. I don't think Isaac Bruce is going to be a full-time starter. And I think Crabtree, as good as he is, I don't think he's going to be consistent. He'll have his nice games. I think Josh Morgan is the money guy in San Francisco.
Don't sleep on Jason Hill.
I like Jason Hill. He just hasn't shown me enough.
More of a slot guy.
No, Morgan's banged up a lot. We'll see. I like the receiving core they have out there now.
Fantasy Football Insiders Radio with the trifecta, Triple R Connection, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Going to get into our duds, and sleepers. For the upcoming 2009 fantasy football season, what we do is bring fantasy football championships. I definitely suggest to check out the first annual fantasy sports channel, Fantasy Football League. I heard what you said about me, and I'm coming for you. Check that out. Let's go into our studs, duds, and sleepers. We're going to start it off with our studs, baby, our studs. And who's more studly to talk about it than the Reverend Ralph Mancini?
Hey, you know what? When I look for studs, I look for guys that give me some consistency. You know, a lot of wide receivers from week to week, you cannot count on them. You don't know what you're going to get from them. I'm going to give you 3 guys you're going to be able to count on week in and week out, and I'm going to start with Greg Jennings from the Green Bay Packers, the ultimate home run hitter. Has scored 21 touchdowns in his last 29 games, and he's only 25 years old. Great instincts. Great in the open field as a runner. I love Greg Jennings. Also, Wes Welker is a stud. He's small, not terribly fast, but is a terror on those underneath crossing routes. He's led the league in receptions 2 years in a row with 111 and 112 catches. Only had 3 touchdowns last year, but he had Matt Castle throwing him the ball, not Tom Brady. There's no reason why he can't score 8 to 10 touchdowns this year. He's tough. He's durable. Hasn't missed a game in 3 years. Only 28 years old. The other guy, we mentioned him before, Vincent Jackson, is going to be a big-time stud. Dare I say, a poor man's Calvin Johnson, 6'5", 230 pounds, runs like a deer, and as I said before, averaged over 17 yards per catch over the past 2 years, gave Nnamdi Asamoah fits last year when he went up against Oakland.
Oh, is there a doctor in the house? Let's turn it over to Rostradamus.
I agree with a lot of the Reds here, but you know, when you're mentioning studs, you got to at least throw out the top four guys there. Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and Randy Moss there. Now that we did that, let me give you a couple other guys. Don't forget about Roddy White. Every year, people are like, yeah, but he's not that good. Yes, he is that good. Go take a look at what he did last year with a rookie quarterback. Every single week, he deserves to be on the field. I don't care who else you have.
And I'll even take it a step further. I would almost consider Roddy White ahead of Andre Johnson because of Andre Johnson's health. How about that?
Well, I wouldn't go quite that far, but you know how I feel about Andre. I also, you know, I love Jennings, as the Reverend said. I think he's definitely going to emerge as one of the top, you know, he's already a top receiver, but I think he's going to join the elite list after this season. And another guy that people are going to write off, not necessarily right off, but, you know, downgrade a little bit, and that's Reggie Wayne. I don't see any drop-off from him coming this year. I consider him part of those, the part of the studly contingent.
Steady.
All right, those are some studs. Let's talk about some milk duds. Okay, Rostradamus, back to you.
Uh-oh, Rev's not going to like this one. I see this year Antonio Bryant being major dudville.
He's on my list, too.
New contract, no quarterback. I have no faith in him at all now that he's getting paid.
Not another sucker draft.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I'd stay away from him. Another guy that the Reverend, in a roundabout way, had as a dud earlier because we both like Miles Austin, and that's Patrick Creighton. I'm not buying it. He's not going to be the number two guy there. Miles Austin is. But, you know, we already discussed Justin Gage. I just think his numbers are going to go down with Nate Washington and Kenny Britt there. I don't care if Kerry Collins.
Excuse me, is that Nate Washington that good?
Why'd they bring him there?
He's okay. He's not that good.
We'll see how much Kerry Collins
he's
likes him.
He's not going to score a lot of touchdowns.
We'll see how much Kerry Collins
likes
him.
Do you like Nate Washington better than Justin Gage, Ross? For the
I like him to take away. You know what?
Fantasy value.
No. I think Gage has a higher fantasy value, but I think Gage's value is diminished by Washington's presence. How about that?
Okay, guys, I'll give you my duds here. I'm going to have to agree with the Ross man on Antonio Bryant. Great talent, but has a history of being inconsistent. Has three very shaky quarterbacks right now throwing him the ball. So I have no faith in Antonio Bryant. Certainly not going to put up the same numbers he put up last year. Then the other guy is a guy that Ross is pretty high on. I don't like Roy Williams. He's a dud. He can't beat double coverage consistently. He disappears from games. He's not a money receiver. Caught only one of five passes inside the 10-yard line. I like Jason Witten. I like Miles Austin, but I don't like Roy Williams. The other guy that Ross mentioned before, to me, he's pretty much going to be a dud, and that's Donnie Avery from the Rams. Hey, look, this kid is talented, but to me, he's not a number one receiver. You know, he's not going to have Torrey Holt to lean on. He's a small guy at 184 pounds. And he's a streaky guy. After being super in his first four starts last year, teams figured him out. He's got to learn how to adjust. You know, back in college, he played in a spread offense, so he has a lot to learn in terms of learning how to run routes. Has so-so hands.
He's no Harry Douglas.
I think Donnie Avery's going to be overvalued.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So we got the Justin Gage Donnie Avery contest.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with you on Roy Williams. For the name brand value, he's going to be drafted way too high for my liking. And for a guy that's going to go, you know, in the top five or six rounds, he's just not worth the value, in my opinion. But let's talk about some sleepers. And to do that, we're going to toss it over to Ralph Mancini.
Okay, I'm going to give you one guy that gave you a glimpse of what he can do and what he can be if he stays healthy. And that is Mr. Mark Bradley from the Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, Dwayne Bowe can't catch everything. And Cottom isn't, Brad Cottom isn't Tony Gonzalez. I think Mark Bradley has a great opportunity here to score about a half dozen touchdowns. He's very acrobatic. He's a deep threat. I like Mark Bradley this year if he stays healthy. Another guy, and this is a guy that I wasn't too high on, but now I'm starting to warm up to him more and more as I see Mr. Palmer out there in Cincinnati doing well, throwing the ball around, and that's Lavernius Coles. He's going to be the new T.J. Houshmandzadeh in Cincinnati. I think he can get the same type of production, and he's pretty good in the red zone. And then the other guy, finally, is Jordy Nelson out of Green Bay. He picked up the system immediately as a rookie last year. He catches everything that's thrown his way. He can shake defenders and make plays after the catch.
Jordy Nelson, maybe a forgotten man out there. Good pick there, Ralph. Let me ask you quickly before we get to Ross. You taking Lavernius Coles over Chris Henry, fantasy-wise?
Oh, that's one of my guys.
Well, in a point-per-reception league, I would take Coles. But in a strictly touchdown league, I think I'd probably lean towards Henry.
Russ?
Well, Chris Henry's one of my sleepers I have down here, so I'm going with him. I you know what? I just think from, and I know it's hard to believe, and I may end up with egg on my face, but I think Henry is finally getting it together between the shoulders. I think he realizes this is it for him. He's got everything in front of him. He's got a world of talent. He's not going to have to be the number one guy there. He's going to start up as the third guy there with Coles and Ocho. And I think he's going to have a heck of a season as long as Carson Palmer can stay on the field. Yeah. I love Chris Henry this season. I know that after week two, he's probably going to get arrested. I'm probably going to look stupid, but I'm going with him.
Give me
right
some
now.
Numbers, though.
I'll say between
60 catches, 800 yards.
I would say that's pretty much exactly
eight,
what I would expect.
I say you can mark him down for 8 to 9 touchdowns.
To me, that's solid. I'll take that 800-900 yards, maybe even 1,000 if he gets fortunate. Let's go with a guy that we've mentioned previously, Miles Austin. I just like what I see out of him. I don't like Patrick Creighton. I think, you know, you guys are down on Dallas this year. I'm not so down on them. I don't think they're going to go 12-4, but I think offensively they're going to have a good season.
Where does Sam Hurt? I mean, we keep hearing Patrick Creighton, Miles Austin. Where does Sam Hurt fit in there?
I think that something's going to happen. I think he's the fourth guy there.
Spare part.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he may get his shot. You know how those guys go down. He may get a shot and he may emerge. But I like Miles Austin out of those three guys. Another guy that I like, and I like it because of the connection, I think that Jay Cutler is going to look for familiarity and is going to find it in my man Earl the Twirl Bennett out in Chicago. Don't sleep on him. I think he's going to emerge as like that safety guy that Cutler's going to look to when all else fails.
Do you want him
fails.
In the fantasy lineup, though? What, as a flex guy, maybe?
Yeah, a flex guy, a bye week fill-in, depending on the matchup. I think he's a nice guy to keep and stash. You know, break glass in case of emergency. You always need guys like that. I'll take him instead of a second kicker. You know, second kicker, you can have it. I'll take a guy that might be useful on the field when I need him.
Well, I can tell you this. There's only one place to tune in to help you win fantasy football championships. And this is the show. You found it, baby. So bookmark it, favorite it, whatever you got to do. Follow us on Twitter, NFL Draft Bible, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, Can't Stop, Won't Stop. You know how we do it. Making it rain every single day, New York City. Now it's time for our tiers. And you know what? We don't have time to break down, you know, the way Reverend has his tiers, 200 players.
You'll be crying tears.
You know,
we
don't have time to break down 5, 6, 7 tier rankings. What we're going to do, we're going to break it down for you nice and easy. Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3. We're going to start in reverse order. We're going to start with our man, Ralph, with his Tier 3 wideout rankings.
Okay, I have 7 guys for each tier. I'm going to start off with Tier 3. Marquise Colston is a Tier 3 guy because of his injuries. I think his upside's tremendous, but he's got those knee problems. I just don't have a lot of faith in the fact that he's going to play 16 games. Anthony Gonzalez is a Tier 3 guy. Dwayne Bowe is a Tier 3 guy. Braylon Edwards, Lee Evans, Brandon Marshall, and Bernard Berrien.
Okay, Ross, you're Tier 3.
Very interesting. I have the rookie, Michael Crabtree, as a Tier 3 guy. I really think he's going to be productive.
Shocker.
This year, baby. I'll shock ya! I also have Braylon Edwards. I have Santonio Holmes. I have Lavernius Coles. I got Steve Breston. I got Lance Moore, my guy, a little banged up. I got Devin Hester, and I also have Bernard Berrien in there.
Wow, Michael No Practice Crabtree cracking Tier 3.
Dude, he's that good.
You think he's going to be a consistent guy in his rookie year?
No, that's why he's a Tier 3 guy.
Reverend, no Kevin Walters.
He's a Tier 1, Rick.
I like Kevin Walters.
That's a lot of wide receivers, you know?
Yeah, I didn't want to make
not
it
not good enough
big.
For your top three tiers?
I don't want to go over 7 guys.
Okay, all right. So, very well. We'll move on to Tier 2. Let's start it off with Ross this time.
All right, let's rock. I got Marcus Colston in my Tier 2. I got Steve Smith. of Carolina. I got Dwayne Bowe. I got Brandon Marshall. I got Keo. I got Wes Welker. I got Roy Williams. I got Vincent Jackson, Ocho Cinco, Lee Evans, and best for last, baby, Donnie Avery. Believe it.
I gotta say there was only two or three guys of players that I would want out of that whole
come on
batch.
I think
you want T.O. Brandon Marshall.
I think Ross.
I don't want Brandon Marshall. No.
I think Ross had one too many at the Heartland Brewery before the show. I'm gonna give you my tier two guys. Number one, VJ Vincent Jackson. I'm all over this guy this year. Then Roddy White, Santonio Holmes, Anquan Boldin, Wes Welker, Terrell Owens, Lavernius Coles. And as far as Boldin goes, to me, he's more of a tier one guy, but I don't see him playing 16 games. If he was a 16-game guy, he would definitely be a tier one guy to me. But because he's going to miss about three or four games, I'm going to put him in tier two.
And he's not going to get the same numbers as Larry Fitzgerald, so you can't put him into that.
He produced
tier
last season.
Not the same numbers.
No. Though. But,
well,
you know, he was astronomical.
Well, there's a difference between Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin.
He could score just as many touchdowns, though.
I agree. That's why I have them both in tier one.
Okay, well, take it away with your tier one, sir.
I got both Arizona guys in there. Larry Fitzgerald, definitely better than Anquan Boldin, but they belong in the same tier as far as I'm concerned. I got the Johnsons, Andre and Calvin, Randy Moss, Jennings, Reggie Wayne, and Roddy White, man. I don't know how you have Roddy White in your second tier. It's an insult.
I got to say, for me, I have actually Andre Johnson, Reggie Wayne, and Roddy White in my tier two.
So, how many guys you have in your tier one?
Three.
Oh, okay.
I got Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, and Calvin Johnson, I think, are the three elite guys that you want on your fantasy football team.
I agree that those are the first three guys.
If you don't have any of those three guys, Andre Johnson's injury prone. Reggie Wayne is a step below. Those two guys are at the top of my tier two. And I think Roddy White, needs another year till he catapults himself into that tier one category. But enough with I think. Let's see what the Reverend thinks.
Yeah, tier one guys for me are Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss, Greg Jennings, Reggie Wayne, and Steve Smith from Carolina.
So you're higher on Steve Smith than Roddy White.
Yeah, I think he's the more proven guy.
Ralph, I didn't hear Terrell Owens in your rankings. Do you have him?
I have him in tier two.
In tier two, okay. And where do you have T.O.?
Tier two.
Tier two? Okay, I'll go with that. Tier one for you, Ross.
We got him already.
We did him?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So, with that said, here's our tier rankings, baby. We're going to get into some players that you do want, some players that you don't want, because each and every year, you know, there's guys that you just, I don't know about you guys, but I just completely take them off my draft board. And this year, the players that headline that list for me are Steve Smith, who's always getting injured. He's been relatively healthy the last couple of years.
Carolina.
So guess what? He's due to get injured. Marcus Colston, you think I'm going to waste a high pick on that guy? Are you kidding me? I got to worry about this guy in the injury report every week? I don't want it. He's a headache. Brandon Marshall, he's a headache, period. You know, this guy's whining, he's crying, he's complaining, he's getting suspended, he's slipping on Burger King wrappers, he's putting his hands in glass. I don't know. He's a head case. I don't want Brandon Marshall anywhere near my fantasy football team. And the last guy, TJ Houshmandzadeh, I do not want anything to do with this guy. I think it was the worst, underline it, the worst free agent acquisition of the whole entire NFL offseason. I think TJ Houshmandzadeh is going to be the biggest bust. He's going to realize what a privilege it was to play opposite of Chad Johnson, and being the number one guy, he's going to find out isn't so pleasant.
I agree. I have TJ Houshmandzadeh first on my list here, followed by adult players I don't want, followed by Antonio Bryant, Rev's boy Justin Gage, Patrick Creighton, and the fragile Darius Hayward Bay. Those are guys that will not be on my team.
Well, make that three for TJ Houshmandzadeh. He's going to soon realize that he made a bad decision going to Seattle. I mean, he's making a lot of money, but there's no way he's going to make the playoffs. Definitely not going to win a Super Bowl in Seattle. He's got a shaky quarterback position, bad offensive line, bad running game. Don't see him doing much. The other guy is Donnie Avery. I talked about him before. Don't want him. Don't need him. Nate Washington. Hey, this guy never performed when Pittsburgh started him. Had no touchdowns in Pittsburgh's last 11 games last year in the regular season. Santana Moss from the Redskins. Don't want him. Don't need him. final eight games averaged 48 yards per game, only one touchdown. And then finally, Chris Chambers is a guy I don't want. 33 receptions all year last season, 11 games with no touchdowns. Do not want Chris Chambers. Put him off. Cross him off your list.
Don't want him. Can't win with him. Those are players you don't want. Now we're going to get into players that you do want. And for me personally, I think Braylon Edwards is the guy that you do want because he's coming off such a poor season. There's nowhere to go but up for this guy. I think Braylon Edwards is the guy that you do want. A guy that you guys, you know, been knocking a little bit, Donnie Avery. I think he's a guy that I do want. And just because, again, you can have him in the latter part of your draft. You got guys like the Revan over here who just aren't a believer, but I am. Donnie Avery is a speed burner. He's going to get behind cornerbacks, and because of that, he's going to be good for four or five touchdowns.
It's a small
and
guy.
And the last guy... So,
Devon Bess is huge?
184 pounds.
Az Hakeem.
Well, what are you, a scale?
Az Hakeem. The last guy I'm going to give you is a guy we really haven't made mention of, and that's Chad Ochocinco. What do you know?
That's my guy.
This is the last and final chance I'm going to give this guy. I got to admit, I thought he had his head on straight. I'm having second thoughts about that. Maybe he doesn't, but I do think he's going to bounce back. I do think he's going to have a big year. And this is going to be the final time I allow myself to get burnt by Ochocinco. Speaking of that fantasy football experts draft league, fantasy sports channel that we participated in, he was actually the guy I was able to get in the fourth round, 20-round draft, 12-team league. I got Chad Ochocinco in the fourth round. If I can do that in every one of my fantasy football drafts, take it to the house, I'm going to do it.
Well, let me ask you guys about Braylon Edwards. You know, he's an interesting case over here. In 2007, had 16 touchdowns. Last year, only had 3 touchdowns. Is it the consensus that he's going to fall maybe somewhere in between that?
Yeah,
right. Okay.
And it makes him worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree. And if he falls down into the fourth or fifth round, I think this guy could be a steal because he is talented. You know, I mean, he does drop a lot of passes, but talent-wise, this guy's an elite guy.
I agree. And I think with Ochocinco and Braylon Edwards, there's something in common these guys have. And that is, A, a huge ego, and B, the desire to make up for a dreadful 2008. And I think that is motivating these guys. I don't have a problem with that motivating these guys. And I think both of those guys are guys I want on my team.
And Ochocinco wants something nice to say on Twitter.
No, he's not going to be able to do that now. The league banned it. God forbid. Donnie Avery I love. I have him at the top of my list. I want Miles Austin. I want Lee Evans. And I want Michael Crabtree to stash him. He's going to be an immortal in a few years, guys.
Yeah, Miles Austin, he's a guy that I really liked a couple of years ago. He slipped my mind. I'm glad we did this show. Guys, before we get into our final thoughts...
Let me give you my money, guys.
Reverend Ralph is going to bless us.
He's got money, guys.
Okay.
Justin Gage.
No. Vincent Jackson, Lavernius Coles, Greg Jennings, Eddie Royal, and Kevin Walter.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
I like Kevin Walter.
Hey, you know what? He's going to be available in the 8th or 9th round, 10th round. You can get a guy like this.
Ralph somehow found a way to put Vincent Jackson into every category.
Hey, you got
to
give him props.
All right, guys, quickly, a couple guys we haven't mentioned. I want to get your take on them. First one, Torrey Holt, big free agent signing for Jacksonville. Many people thought he was on the downside of his career. All of a sudden, he's catapulted into a situation where he is going to be the go-to guy. Started off with you, Reverend.
I think Torrey Holt is going to be your perfect number three receiver just because he's not going to be a consistent player you're going to be able to count on each and every week. But I do think that he has one more good year left in him, and I think he will score his touchdowns. Might put up 1,000, maybe come close to 1,000 yards, but I think he's a perfect number three receiver.
Over under 7 touchdowns.
I'll put him right about 7 touchdowns.
Ross, Torrey Holt, over under 7 touchdowns, and what's your take?
800 yards, 6 touchdowns, so I'm going under. I think he's going to fade toward the end of the season, but I do think he's going to be a useful fantasy player for a bye week fill-in, and he's going to be especially useful to Jacksonville in quote-unquote real football.
Okay, another guy who doesn't get credit, and he's a warrior, and I don't really use that phrase on a lot of players, but Derek Mason is a guy that just battles week in, week out, pretty much played the whole darn year with a separated shoulder. Guys, does he have it in him another year. Can this guy, I mean, he's been around a while now. Derek Mason quietly putting up Hall of Fame caliber numbers. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame caliber numbers. I'll go over to you, Ross. Does Derek Mason have another season in him as Joe Flacco's go-to guy?
I got it. I'm sorry to say that I don't really think he does. I mean, I think he's going to be a decent receiver, but I think the numbers are going to fall off. I think he's going to miss a couple games. But I'll tell you this. He is indeed one of the tougher guys in the league. And if he's there with one of my last picks, I almost just want to take him so I can have a guy that I really like on my team. But I don't think he's going to produce from a fantasy standpoint that much.
Yeah, he's not going to be a guy that you'd want to start every week. Maybe you keep him on the bench as your fifth receiver, but I don't see him putting up the same types of numbers that he's put up in the past 2, 3, 4 years. I think that shoulder is a big problem. I've heard that he's still experiencing problems in that injured shoulder, so I don't see him being a stud.
All righty, we're getting into the end of the show, and for those of you that don't know, you've been listening to the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible exclusively on Blog Talk Radio, the Fantasy Sports Channel, delivering the news you need to know to win your fantasy football championship, but none other better than this show right here. I'm telling you, ask about us. All right, guys, final thoughts as we close the wide receiver show. I mean, we've covered, you know, third-year wideouts, rookie wideouts, bust-out players, stud-dud sleepers, players you do want, players you don't want, all that good stuff. We're going to take it home now, the evening time drive home. Ralph, bless us with your final thoughts on the wide receiver position.
Two thoughts here. Number one, consistency is key for me at wide receiver. And number two, you know, there's a misconception about wide receivers, how they're not reliable a lot of times, that they're guys that are going to get hurt. Well, I have a stat for you. Wide receivers are a lot more durable than running backs, a lot more durable. Wide receivers, 155 of them started all 16 games last season versus only 48 running backs that started all 16 games last year.
Well, and there's a few more receivers.
And Reverend stayed up every night for the past 2 weeks for that one stat. To bring us that one stat.
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of times you want to compare an elite receiver versus a number two or number three running back. Don't be hesitant to go with that receiver just because you think that running back's going to be a lot more reliable, a lot more durable.
I agree with you, Revan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You got to do what you can to grab one of those top four receivers. Everybody knows who they are. Even if that means taking one with your second pick overall, if you're in the right spot, make sure you get a receiver who's going to be a number one or a number two. And when there's any doubt, go with the receiver that's part of a passing offense with a solid quarterback. It's not complicated to get a good player.
And my final thoughts are, never put too much stock into a wide receiver. It's a wide receiver. I can get him anytime. That's about a show. Another one wraps up the books here for Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We're out of here.
Cause you deserve for everything. you, but I still feel for you. Cause you are the best woman this old man has ever met. You taught me about my soul, you share with me your magic. Wanna be a soul or in your side, good woman. Always be the one to make you cry. Don't wanna be the guy, good woman. You deserve everything, and I got nothing, so leave me. And I'll go away, better off I stay far from.
Can I still meet with you, girl?